In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may remember that for many years, Michael Parkinson was the man who interviewed people on television. He would interview well-known celebrities, film stars, all sorts of people. And by and large, he was somebody that you could like and respect. I remember hearing him being interviewed himself after he'd retired, saying that he would never do anything that would deliberately embarrass or do anything of that kind to anybody that he interviewed. Well, he's been replaced by somebody called Jonathan Ross. Jonathan Ross is, I suppose, in his 40s, and he and a mate whom he was interviewing, a pop star or rock star or something of that sort, thought it would be amusing on the show to ring up Manuel. Now, Manuel is the person who is in Fawlty Towers, you remember? The butler, or the hopeless whatever that he was, played by an actor called Jonathan Sachs. So they rang him up. And they found that they only got the answer phone. So they made enormously amusing remarks, like the fact that one of them had slept with his granddaughter, and things of that kind. This was not a joke, because unfortunately this was true. And this was on the television program, broadcast all over the United Kingdom. Here we have Jonathan Sachs and his family being rubbished on the BBC by this amusing man called Jonathan Ross, who is paid millions of dollars for doing what he does. Well, he had his hand slapped with a very wet bus ticket. There were questions in the House of Commons. People jumped up and down, awful letters were received, and true enough, forward-thinking, right-thinking people stood up and defended Jonathan Ross's right to freedom of speech and all this kind of thing. And I have a general feeling of despair about it all. Partly because I too, I'm sorry to say, am given to being amused by rather outrageous humour, and tend to find it rather difficult sometimes to draw the line between what is outrageous and what is absolutely offensive and completely unnecessary and absolutely wrong and evil. And that's what this event was, in my opinion, on the BBC. And I find that there's an awful lot of life like that, that there are parts of it which I find absolutely disgusting, appalling, dreadful, cruel, wicked, and so on. And I also find that there's a little bit of me inside that somehow would have done that, or agreed with it, or thought it was amusing, or wouldn't have bothered about it, or something of that kind. And I'm not very happy. I'm not very happy with Jonathan Ross, but I'm not very happy with me either. And I'd like to know what the antidote to this is. What is the thing that's going to make it okay? What's the thing that's going to put it right? And the answer must be the cross of Christ. People have been inclined in some ways to see the cross of Christ as a making present of a judicial or juridical or whatever it is transaction between God and his creation. We've all sinned wickedly and somebody had to pay the price. So Jesus said, well, look, don't smite them, smite me instead, because I'm perfectly innocent and therefore would make a good victim. And the Father said, okay, well, I've got to smite somebody, so I'll smite you because you don't deserve it. And that's called the justice of God. And I'm not too sure I'm very impressed by it. But I do see that because God is unchanging, has never changed, and is also has always known from all eternity to all eternity what would happen. How that happens and coincides with our freedom of will, I'm not at all sure, but I believe it does. God has always known, God knew before the universe began that it was going to go off the rails, because it would have to do that. It would have to go off the rails in order for the people within it to have their own lives. They'd have to be able to say no to God. They'd have to be able to say no to God's will. They'd have to be allowed to behave in the most appalling manner. Because if they weren't allowed to do that, they would just be automatons and robots and things of that kind. And that, just, I'm afraid, isn't a person. A person is somebody who can make decisions about what he wants to do and who he is and all the rest of it. And a person is not programmed, as though by drugs, in order to always be nice and sweet and all the rest of it. A person somehow has to have more to him or her than that. And God knew that. God knew that this was going to cost. Because God was I won't say silly enough, but the thing about God was that God would love his creation and his creatures. Now, when you love somebody, you have to pay a price. Somebody has to pay a price somewhere, because it's very likely that they might disagree with you, or they might do something that you don't want them to do, or they might let themselves down, or whatever, and you have really to suffer with that. And that's the big thing about the Christian religion. Although God is the source of all bliss, joy, happiness, and all the rest of it, God has the capacity, it would seem, to suffer with his creation. And he can, as it were, the cross of Christ is the indication that God can absorb all the evil that we do and are. It can just simply be absorbed by him, like a piece of sort of moral blotting paper. And the result is the resurrection. The result of our evil, the result of our cruelty and wickedness and all the terrible things which have made the world such a miserable place and in so many places at so many times and will continue to do till the end of time, the result of it is the resurrection. God can accept it. God can neutralize it by his acceptance of it. This is exactly, in fact, how you do neutralize it. You turn the other cheek. And in a funny kind of way, the cross is about God's turning the other cheek. And the resurrection is about the fact that no dirt, no filth, no nastiness, no wickedness, cruelty or evil can destroy the beauty of the garden of the resurrection. An absolute springtime, as it were, for the universe can still break out, as it were, with everything restored to its beauty and goodness, because God can just take it all into himself and neutralize it. Now, this is why I'm reluctant to say things like, the Christian religion is superior to all the others. I think it is, actually. And the reason I think it is this, that God can suffer with us, and that in his suffering, he puts us right. That is the most remarkable thing. There's no other religion like this, in which the deity, the final reality, whatever it is, actually enters into our nastiness and our cruelty and our wickedness, and actually takes the consequences of that, absorbs it into himself, suffers the consequences of it, and then just turns it all upside down. So that, as I say, we have the garden of the resurrection. So if you're wondering why we should celebrate, that why it is the triumph of the cross, the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the reason is because by this means God destroyed our evil and destroys our evil without destroying us in the process. We see in the Old Testament, the sort of primitive God that's presented there, who's going to wipe out all the evil ones, going to just slaughter the Amalekites, going to drown the whole world except for Noah. They're all going to pay the price. But we see that that's really our understanding of things. What we find in the New Testament is God's understanding of things. God will be the one to be swept away in the flood. God will be the one to be destroyed and tortured and massacred. God will put himself in our place and bear the consequences of what it is to be human. And that's what he does on the cross. But not just on the cross, because the cross is just a symbol in one time and one place of the price which God is always prepared to pay when confronted by us and our evil and our failures and all the rest of it. God is always prepared to pay the price for it. And although we can't actually see it very clearly in this life, he will transform it eventually. Not in this world perhaps, but certainly in the world to come. That's the Christian promise. That's what we believe. That's what what makes Christianity special. In many ways, all the great religions likewise are special. This belief that beyond this world there is somewhere where it is put right. And in the Christian religion, it's put right by God's very own suffering and by his very own triumph in the garden of the resurrection, which of course is simply eternity in one small place made visible to us 2,000 years ago, so that in our due time, when we come to enter into it, we will recognize it for what it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.